Good morning, brother, sister. You are going to listen to a sermon by Brother Lezenga, minister of one of the four gospel churches in the Netherlands. The subject is baptism by immersion. This morning, I would like to read some verses from Acts 16. I've chosen to speak about the baptism by immersion. The Lord drew my attention to this subject, and during the singing it has been confirmed. In Acts 16, verse 19 till 34, we read the story about the jailer in Philippi and how he came to be baptized. I ask you to read this story with me. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and the whole family was filled with joy, because they had come to believe in God. In verse 30, the question is asked, "What must I do to be saved?" The question this man asks is one that you may be asked sometimes. What must I do to be set free so that I can be healed, so that I can recover or be restored and have peace? What must I do to progress, to have victory over my spiritual enemies, over evil spirits who continue to attack me? What must I do so that my marriage will improve, or to have more harmony in my family? How marvelous that we have discovered that the Bible gives an answer to all these questions. Sometimes you have to search for it. It is not something that comes automatically, but in very many situations it appears that when you search the Bible for an answer, that you will also find it. Paul also rightly says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus," verse 31. If you have this "what must I do" question in your heart, the Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." Sometimes people then say, "That's too easy. It's easy for you to say." I have heard this many times, and I too used to say it, especially when I was in a difficult situation. But I have also learned to say, no matter how difficult the situation, I will just believe in the Lord Jesus. To trust in the Lord is something that you yourself have to put into practice, and only then can the Word of God become a reality in your life. It is as if only then can it become part of your life, working in your life and renewing it. Paul then also says, and rightly so, and you will be saved, you and your household. Verse 31. This applies to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, and it is also the saving of everyone. That word save we have also seen more often in other forms, like you then have eternal life, you are then saved, and then it is complete or finished. But the word to save means much more. It means that you, as an individual, will be fully brought to the light, that all the possibilities or qualities that are in you can be developed, and they will be at your disposal. To be saved means that no matter what the situation is in which you find yourself, you can still be yourself, and in your inner person you can remain erect. You do not get into a panic, and you don't have to ask in desperation, what am I to do? But you have peace in your heart, and you dare to face the difficult situations. That is the kind of saving God has for us. That is the goal God intends for us, and the baptism has everything to do with it. The baptism has to do with God, with us, and with the goal God has for our lives. In Ecclesiastes 3 verses 11, it says that in each person there is a need for eternity. There is a desire in everyone to have a share in eternity. To get some idea of what it means to know what happens, what it will be like when we are no longer on earth, but also to know what is behind all of this creation, and how is it possible that this creation exists. It has been planted within mankind to think about all these things. God created this in us from the formless beginning of each person, as it says in Psalm 139. God made man in such a way that man himself would say, I want to know who God is. I want to know what God is like, his character. Acts 17 verse 27. And God says, as for me, I will search for you because I want to know who you are, and I want to make my character and all that I have known to you. That is the way God is. He wants us to become complete persons. 2 Timothy 3 verse 17. He wants us to share in the divine nature. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. He wants us to bear fruit. Romans 7 verse 4. Not only on earth, but also for God, in heaven, in the spiritual world. And that is why God has shown a way. And it is also why God says, I will speak for that reason. I will give many words which will go out from my mouth. Psalm 119, verse 105. The word of God, which we have here, and in which he can be found, wherein you can find out what he is like. By believing in that word, and by believing in the work of Jesus Christ, you can walk on the path to reach this goal. You all know about that cross
which once stood and on which Jesus was nailed. The Bible says that by believing in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, you can take hold of all the glory of God. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says, Jesus is the author of our salvation. It is also through him that we have been given a share in eternal salvation. Through him you can also get to know who you really are. You are able to view yourself, but also able to see the people around you. And, most important of all, you are able to see God, and all this because Jesus died on the cross. You can get to know God's way by getting more deeply involved with the Spirit of God. Hasn't Paul written in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 13, that it is the Spirit who makes it known to us what God, merciful, has given us? It is through the Holy Spirit of God that we get to know how we should walk on this path in order to really take hold of the goal God intends and to be saved. And then the Bible speaks about it, that when you begin on the way, it is not a way that you run as fast as you can. It is not a marathon where you have to take what you can as fast as you are able. It is a way about which God says, the righteous shall walk on it. It is a long, long way towards the goal, where you may take it one step at a time until you have reached the goal. It always begins somewhere, and it always goes somewhere. God keeps the goal in mind, and he knows how we will be when we have reached the goal. But God does want us to walk on that way. Or, as the Bible also describes it, by a gradual process. To walk on this way is a matter of growing in the truth. Ephesians 4, verse 15. The flower I have just taken out of this bouquet is fully grown. There are even more beautiful flowers than this one in the open country. Maybe you don't think this flower is very beautiful, but in this bouquet it is magnificent. It began very small, and if you had seen it at the beginning, just a tiny blade coming out of the ground somewhere, you could not imagine what it would be like. You could never imagine that this or any of the other lovely flowers would come from it. But the plant develops, and in the growing process, the whole plant appears. The flower, which I now hold in my hand, was cut off at some time, and having been cut off, it can no longer grow. That is not God's intention. And now let me get back to man. It is not God's intention that human life is cut short or before its time. It is God's intention that man fully develops and grows to be a wonderful fruit which will be for him. Such a plant, such a flower, developed to this stage because it was allowed to grow, because it had been given the time to develop. And this is the point I want to make. This is the way God wants it too. This is how he would like it to be in our lives, that we grow towards him. Hebrews 5, verse 12 to 14. As a person, you begin life as a small baby, a baby who is placed in the cradle, and you continue to develop until you are spiritually mature, fully grown, having reached ripeness, living in the kingdom of God, totally fit spiritually, acquainted with the things of God, fully grown, perfect like the Father, but always being dependent on Jesus Christ, dependent on the Father, dependent on the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. having a share in the divine nature because you have been able to grow towards it. Because in the process of further growth, you develop and mature. It always begins somewhere. This plant here began to grow at a certain moment. At a certain point in time, the germinal force began to develop until a very small part of the plant became visible. In much the same way, God's way begins. This way starts with being converted. Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 2. At the very moment that someone says, God, I have heard your call. I know what you have said. I understand that your eye is upon me, that you want me. And you turn towards the voice, you turn your attention to him, and you discover that you don't really feel comfortable with him. There is something between you and him. There is a wall between you and God. The wall of transgressions, a wall of sin, a wall of all the things that have gone wrong in your life. And when you listen carefully, God says, the wall that you are now aware of, the sin that you see, that uncomfortable feeling that you have inside you, the awareness that what is in you is not really good, I want to take that wall away completely. I want to break down that wall. I want to have a direct line of contact between you and me, so that you will truly be able to get to know me. When you convert to God, this becomes a reality. Man hears God's voice and turns himself towards that voice. Man listens, reacts to what he has heard, and lets himself be cleansed by Jesus Christ. That is the first thing. It has to do with the first principles about which the Bible speaks in Hebrews 6. There it speaks about milk, elementary teaching, which is also described as the foundation. If you look at this building here, you only see what is above the ground. But if you had been around when they were building it, you would have seen that a foundation was laid under the ground. The foundation is extremely important. We all know that if a foundation is not properly laid, then sooner or later cracks will appear in the walls, and then the building will begin to sink. When that happens, there's nothing you can do. This is the same with your spiritual life. The cornerstone, the stone that lies at the corner and towards which you direct yourself, that is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 6. He indicates how the building of your life can be erected. He shows you how you can start to walk in God's way and how you can gradually be with God. And he says, I am that beginning. I am the first. I gave my life so that you could come onto my way, my Father's way, and can walk there, so that you can come into my Father's family, so that you can become born from above, become born in heaven. That is the way God wants it. And there, in the very early stages, you realize that you have come out of something, that you have been taken out from sin, from lies, or out of a situation where you didn't know God at all. Of course, you knew everything, but you no longer heard him in your heart. And even though you may know everything about God, it is important that you hear him in your heart. Maybe you have come out of just such a situation, or that you have come out of it and have turned to God, but you realize there is something you have to leave behind. Each person experiences it differently. The one with tears, another has been made conscious of it, and yet another has a totally different experience. But one way or another, you realize that you were mixed up in something which kept you at a distance from God. Being mixed up in something, the Bible calls it transgressions. The Bible calls it dead. Ephesians 2, verse 1. The Bible says that it is being separated from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. There is a separation between God and man, and when you convert, you say, "Lord, I turn to you." Then the separation is removed, and the way to God is open. Then you come out of death, out from the eternal separation from God, out of sin, and you enter life. After being converted, this is expressed in the word baptize. The transition from death to the life of God is given expression in the baptism, by immersion. The baptism depicts the essential meaning so well. The person goes under in the water, and by doing this he says, "I am dead." And when the person rises up out of the water, it is as if he says, "I live for God." When we speak about baptism, then we are speaking about a word which in Greek means immersion, completely immersed. This is also the manner about which the Bible speaks, the way the Lord Jesus wants it, and the way God wants us to act. Jesus himself gave the command. Jesus said, "Believe and be baptized, and you will be saved." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Just as Paul also said to the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The baptism is one of the elements that are necessary so that salvation can be really effective. It is not a case of some difference or other in teaching. It is an act which has a deep significance, and it can also be very dramatic in the life of a person. At the time when I let myself be baptized, it was actually the cause of a gap with my family. It lasted a long time before the relationships were restored. To outward appearances, the rift was not always obvious, but in their heart, it was clearly spoken out and experienced. Such a gap or break can result from being baptized. But the baptism doesn't always mean that you will have problems. The baptism is a means of giving expression to what you believe. It expresses the things that take your attention. It reflects the fact that you did come out of death and you have entered life. This is why it is so important. Jesus says, "Believe, let yourself be baptized, and you will be saved." In Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, "You must teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." And that is why immersion is also the method we want to elaborate on. In Jesus' time, this was also the only known method. People were immersed in water. What people added to it later on is not what we are really getting at. We are concerned with what Jesus said. Be baptized after you have received faith. Now there is a little point in being baptized just because you now belong to a full gospel church. You don't belong to the church simply because you are baptized. You belong to the church because you have chosen the body which we form together. But you allow yourself to be baptized because you want to work out what you believe and what you have seen. And when you take a look at the disciples, the followers of the Lord Jesus, then you see how they worked out or did precisely what Jesus said. Jesus gave the command and they executed it. John 4, verse 1 and 2. We can read in Acts many times about such things. In Acts 2, verses 37, the Jews say in Jerusalem, "What must we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 38. The Ethiopian says to Philip in Acts 8, verse 36, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And then Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, then you can be baptized." And the jailer in Acts 16 allowed himself to be baptized. In Acts 19, you see how the people in Ephesus let themselves be baptized. They had already been baptized as they had admitted to being baptized in the baptism of John. But Paul explained the significance of the baptism more clearly to them, and they had no problem whatsoever in being baptized once more. They allowed this to happen in their lives. That is what being baptized is. You put yourself into the hands of someone else who immerses or baptizes you, and in doing this, the powerful meaning of baptism is indicated. At a certain moment, Paul tells this story, which you can read about in Acts 9 and 22. Here it appears that shortly after Paul became converted, Ananias came to him and said, "Why do you delay? And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 22, verse 16. Paul, the man who meant so much to the Lord Jesus, and to God's kingdom, and to all of mankind, this man said, "I will let myself be baptized. I don't find it inferior. I will submit myself to it. I will hand over my life," because that is what he had already done when he repented. Baptism is such a very important step to take, as it so clearly gives expression to the fact that you have come out of death and have come into life. Just take time to study Romans 6, verse 1 till 14. With regard to the baptism by immersion, so many problems arose in church history. How is that possible? Because especially in the baptism, the separation between death and life is so clearly expressed. And that is precisely the great battle that is being fought in the spiritual world, the fight between death and life. And you understand, of course, that the devil has gone all out to suppress the baptism, that people will not give expression to what has happened to them. It remains a secret that I have come out of death and I have entered life. I have been able to take hold of the divine life. This is what is so clearly expressed in the baptism. I am no longer dead. I was dead. I was dead because of my transgressions, because of my sins, as it states in Ephesians 2. I was dead because there was a separation with God. Because of my sins, there was a wall between me and God. But when I allow myself to be baptized, in doing so, I say that the separation was indeed there, but at the same time I declare that I no longer want to be separated from God. I say that the separation has been taken away, that I want to live with God, and that He may have my whole life, everything from head to toe, that He may have at His disposal everything that happens in my life. And when you do that, then you confess in the baptism, as a sign of death, that sin has been made powerless. Romans 6, verse 6. That the power of sin has been broken, that the power of the devil in your life has been brought to a halt. This is what you express in the baptism. To be buried with Him in death, grown together in His death, the death of Jesus Christ. The old life is crucified, so we are dead to sin. We have the right to be free because we believe that we are dead to sin. Everything that was in that death and everything connected with it, everything connected with death and devil, we want to be dead to it, because death and devil got already their victim long time ago. Why are we able to express that? Because Jesus Christ entered death once only. Jesus died on the cross, and He entered death, and He said, I lay down my life for all the people of the entire world. I will lose it. I lay it down of my own accord. I will enter death. John 10, verse 17 and 18. And because death, the devil, once, just once, received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that is why we are separated from death completely. For that reason, we can escape death, and that is why we may enter into the life of God. Dead to sin. You express that in the baptism. You are immersed in water, and the water closes over you, and for a moment the people can't see you. In this way, you let it be known that you are no longer there. I'm dead. But you come up out of the water again, and you say, but there is more. It doesn't end there, and I rise up from death, out of the misery, out of sin. I'll free myself from these things. I want to be rid of the chains that bind. I want my life to be examined by God's Spirit. And you enter into the life God intended. That is the second meaning of the baptism. The baptism is a sign of being dead to sin, to the devil, to death. The baptism is also a sign of life, of development, of blossoming, of maturing, of growth towards the glorious light of God, walking on God's way, developing towards salvation, walking in the newness of life, being one with His resurrection. That is what you express. We don't need to dig a grave and put people into it, cover them with earth, and then take them out of it. Jesus indicated it in a much more practical way. But there is also a much deeper meaning to it. It has to do with the sea, which will no longer be there. In Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, there was no longer any sea. The water that you go under when you are baptized is connected to this sea mentioned in Revelation. But what I want to emphasize now is that you come out of the water and say, I'm alive. I have risen, just as Jesus rose. In the resurrection, I am one with Him. I want to be one with Him. I want to live with Jesus. I want to listen to Him. I want to have His words. I want His attention. I want to go on his path. In Jesus Christ, I want to live for God. That is what you express when you let yourself be immersed and come up out of the water again. Thirdly, you give expression to the fact that something has happened in your heart. Now, I don't mean your heart as a physical organ in your body, not the pump. What I am referring to is your inner person. From within, something has happened. Something has been cut loose there. In your inner person, you have been cut loose from evil, and then all will be well in your development, the circumcision of your heart. Just as in the Old Testament, the people were circumcised, and about this it is said it was work of men. And under the New Covenant, there is a talk of a circumcision of the heart, not on the outside, visible, but inside, in your inner person, Colossians 2 verse 11. And when you let yourself be baptized, you say, that process has been started in me. That is the true circumcision. That is the circumcision of the heart, Romans 2 verse 29. That is not the work of man, Ephesians 2 verse 11 tells us. To be circumcised in Jesus Christ by being buried in the baptism. The moment you say, I want to be baptized, and you let yourself be baptized, you say, I proclaim that a separation has begun to take place in my life between evil and the good from God, and this will be revealed in my life. I have broken with evil, and I no longer want to have any part of it. I will break with it, and I will give myself over to the good that I want to do. I want to be available for all the goodness of God in my life. The circumcision of your heart. At the same time, the baptism is also a sign that there is a prayer in your heart. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. That you pray to God, that you call to Him from the very center of your being. It is as if you direct yourself towards the living God, and that you say, it has become good within me. My guilt is gone. My conscience has been cleansed. Hebrews 10, verse 22. And when you look at God, in a manner of speaking, then there is nothing left to accuse you. And you become aware that your conscience is clear. You lose the sense of sin. Of course there will be moments when you sin, and in those moments you will realize that it is not good, and you will let yourself be cleansed. It is not so that when someone is baptized and has been given a clear conscience, that afterwards he will never sin again. But it is not the intention that he will sin. It is intended that each time he will choose for God and will be given victory over the misleading spirits of sin, over the powers of the devil who cultivates sin and who doesn't want man to develop in the life intended by God. The baptism as a prayer of a clear conscience. Such a person says, I have come out of death. What a celebration that is. I have been given life from God. God, now here I am. That is the prayer. To speak out that you are pure for God and that you want to give yourself over totally to Him. That you are available, that He may develop Himself in you. That is what a baptism also is. The prayer of a clear conscience. At a certain moment, Jesus was also immersed in water, and it says, when Jesus came up out of the water, as he was praying. Luke 3, verse 21. So Jesus has that same prayer in his heart when he lets himself be baptized in water. And when he comes up out of the water again, and he prays to his Father, and then John the Baptist sees the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And he knows, this is the Son of God, just as God made it clear to me. John knows it. This is the Lamb who will take away the sins of the whole world. He knows that this is the man who will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. John 1 verse 29 to 34. They will receive the Holy Spirit just as Jesus received the fullness of God's Spirit because of the prayer that was in his heart. God didn't use Jesus like a marionette, a puppet on a string. God did not treat Jesus like a ball to play with. God adapted himself completely to all that was human in Jesus. And Jesus opens his heart and prays the prayer, Father, I am totally available for you. Here I am to do your will. And to be able to do God's will, the Father baptizes Jesus Christ with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing to stop it. Jesus was able to begin his task being completely full of the glory of God. But in the baptism, he first said, Here I am available, you may use me, you may do with me what you will, do as it pleases you. I have come up unto your way, and I want to reach the finish. That is what I want to attain. I want salvation to be worked out in my life. Here I am. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your word. Speak to my heart. And with these words, he expressed what many people after him would do. They would say, Here I am, available for you. No longer I, but Christ. Just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. He is talking about the love of Christ which compels him. And then he says, Because we are convinced that one died for all, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. People who would no longer live for themselves. God is looking for such people, also here this morning. People who say, It does not only concern me alone. People who say, Praise God, I have come out of death, I have been extricated from the misery. He has delivered me, and he will continue to deliver me. I have come out of death, and I have been given a share in life. Now I no longer want to live for myself, I want to live for him. I'll make myself available. He may use everything that is in me. Here I am to do your will. And if you have not already been baptized, then you can let yourself be baptized. Then you can say, Here I am, submerge me, because I was dead and I have been given life, and that life is available for Jesus Christ. He may have everything. He may fill me. He may renew me. He may use me. I am totally available for him. When you do that, then you break with many lines of thought that people have about this baptism. Oh, often founded on texts, all very well meant, but not correctly based on the Word of God. Then you break with all sorts of teachings which oppose this reality, coming out of death and entering into life. Then you can break with all the teachings that try to stop it. Teachings which say that you are still in death.
teachings which say that you are so bad, while in baptism you have just confessed that you have become good, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, a new creation that may become full of God's Spirit, full, perfect, like the Father, having a share in the divine nature, living with Jesus Christ, because He died for you. If you have not yet taken this decision in your heart, take it now. Don't wait any longer. If you have not yet taken the decision, although you were baptized at one time, perhaps many years ago, make the decision even now, or once more, and say, "Here I am, available for you. No longer I, but your life in me." Put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And afterwards, Paul adds, "You and your household." And you will discover that a blessing will go out from you towards the people around you. And in the baptism, you then confess that you don't want to have anything to do with Satan and all that belongs to him. In the baptism, you confess that you are available for God, that the Spirit of God may pervade you completely, and that, in the grace or mercy of Jesus Christ, you will get everything there is to be had. Everything you need so that salvation can be worked out fully in your life. And if you are still hesitating, stand up and be baptized. Amen. Let us pray. Living God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the mercy you give. Thank you that we may live with you and that we may come out of sin and death more and more. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that has come to us through the Lord Jesus. Lord, what a privilege that we may confess unity with you in the baptism by immersion. That we were dead, but that we are now living for God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who are not yet baptized, that you will guide, convince, and help them to put this message into practice. We pray for each other that we will all live according to the baptism, and that it will really be seen that we have a share in the life God intends. Lord, you know each person who is listening to this cassette. Guide them also in working out this message. Support and encourage them, Lord. And we thank you that your blessing in grace, in love, and in power is over us and also over the listeners. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.